Morning, 6:34 a.m. on June the 12th, 2013, 6:12:13. 18-minute first mile. I knew it wasn't going to be a big one today. The music was not particularly heart-pumping, and I've not been pushing very hard. I expected it was going to be a rather slow number. Under 19 is the key, so I'm at least on that pace, so we're cooking along. Today should be, good Lord willing, the creek don't rise. Today should be a riding day. I've got only one chore this morning, just to take the younger daughter to school and then go back and pick her up, which gives me a nice bookend. I should not have to go to the grocery store today, so there's no extra running about. Dinner will be barbecue. I'm going to barbecue a chicken and throw some sweet potatoes in there to slow roast this afternoon. I talk about barbecue and I talk about grill. Those are two different things. A lot of people use barbecue as the thing with briquettes, and you have a hot fire and cook meat and stuff over it, but I also have a barbecue pit. It's a big metal thing from Red River. It looks like a big cast iron drum that sits on four legs. It has a smoke box, fire box technically, offset and lower, so that I use lump charcoal. I also have a grill. It's one of those old backyard squarish, roundish sort of hinged covered deals, and I use lump charcoal in that as well on a fire grate that sets up about 2 inches off the bottom of the grill, so I don't put lump charcoal right on the metal. It's hot enough as it is. It's hot enough that it actually melts the fire grate, and over the course of time the actual grill itself has begun to sag from the heat of those fires. Charcoal burns very hot, much hotter than briquettes, and much less evenly, but there's no petroleum products in it. Even the cornstarch briquettes, which are supposed to be better, don't really do it for me. Now that I've discovered charcoal, I only cook with lump charcoal outside, and I only cook. See, there's two things there. One, you don't want to cook inside with lump charcoal, with any kind of charcoal, because of the fire, of the smoke fume damage. And the other is that it's the only thing I use when I cook outside. I love my barbecue. I love my pit. I got it for Father's Day, 5 years ago. It's kind of nasty looking now on the outside because of the... It sits outside in the wind and the weather all year round. So it's got some rust spots on it. It's got some oxidation here and there on the outside. Of course, the inside stays protected, so the only damage from in there is from smoke and fire. Fire grills in there are badly deformed because I tend to stoke up the firebox when I'm doing things like chicken, where I'll cook it for the afternoon. Not a slow cook all day, but take it temperature up to about 250, and so I get smoke and heat together and slow roast the chicken for 2, 3, 4 hours. I have to look to see how big the chicken is, but the taste is spectacular, and the effect of the smoke on the meat is quite marked. It's interesting to see the smoke ring. It's particularly on chicken. It doesn't show up so much on ribs, but it does to a bit. But there's a smoke ring that shows up in the outer 1/8 to 1/4 of an inch of whatever it is you're cooking, as a discoloration in the meat. I usually use chicken, although I did barbecue ribs over the weekend. They came out wonderful. I was so pleased. For the first time I've done ribs in forever, I will have to do them again. What I do when I barbecue is that I take my lump charcoal. When I'm grilling, I can't use any of the big chunks because the biggest chunks that come out of the bag are not conducive to fitting in a confined space of a grill. So I'll sort those out and I collect them in a big metal bucket so that when I'm doing barbecue in the large firebox in the barbecue pit, I'm able to use those and get a pretty even, pretty well controlled heat out of them. Because they're large, they burn over a longer period of time, and they give me a pretty uniform level of heat and smoke, which helps in the final cooking process. So yeah, I love barbecue. I love good barbecue. My barbecue still comes out just a bit tough. I'm not quite sure what I need to do. Actually, I do. One of the steps that I quite frequently do is that I will barbecue the rib rack, and then once it's had a couple, 3 hours of cooking, then I'll wrap it in an aluminum foil envelope and then pour the remaining barbecue sauce, the mop sauce that I use on it, into the envelope and let the sauce sort of simmer in there. And that helps soften up some of the tougher, crustier bits that tend to get just a bit hard when they're cooked by themselves. And, well, I suppose technically speaking, that's not true barbecue. The results are spectacularly delicious, and I don't care. Because we had five for dinner, so I didn't have a lot of leftover ribs. I did have one. It was just as good the next day. Nuke it in the microwave for about a minute, just to take the refrigerator chill off it, warm it up a bit. Oh, God, that was good. Anyway, now my mouth is watering. I got up at, it was like 3:30 this morning, 3:30, 4 o'clock. And the reason was that I forgot to take my pills last night. And the reason for that was that I didn't want to take my pills and make myself drugged into a stupor. Because at 9 o'clock last night, I still had not written one word. Those of you who follow along on a regular basis will remember that yesterday I was saying, well, a 5,000 word day, that's perfectly possible. Yeah, it was perfectly possible. It just didn't happen. It didn't happen at all. Between the run to school and the doctor's appointment, and then a grocery run, and then the wife being home, and then a run back to school to pick the kid up again, and it just got out of hand. Sadly, sadly out of hand. And I get to the end of the day, and I'm thinking, I have an alarm that's set to remind me to take my pills. And I thought of that, and I thought, you know, if I take my pills in an hour, I'm going to be comatose. And I still haven't written anything. So what I did was, I brewed myself a pot of Lapsang Souchong. Now I have these little clay, Zhongchang, clay pots that my wife got me for Christmas one year. And they make a perfectly sized single cup of tea. And I'm particularly fond of Lapsang. And I have one of these pots that I only brew Lapsang in because the tea steeps into the clay. And after a while, the pot itself smells of the kind of tea. So using a single varietal like Lapsang Souchong that has a strong resiny flavor to begin with in these pots over time will create a pot that actually fosters tea brewing from the various previous pots that have been brewed in it and becomes more flavorful, more intense. So I'm working on that, and I make myself a pot of these, one of these little pots every so often. I don't do it often enough. And so last night I made a pot and filled my teacup. And then, oh, monk pole. And then fill the pot again with hot water for deuxième impressé to get the goodness of the leaf. And I let that pot, I took the pot and the cup with me downstairs, and I sipped on Lapsang Souchong and wrote about 1,300 words last night. It took me till almost 11. I really didn't start until 9:30. It took me a while to actually get into the flow of the story. So, yeah, I sipped my Lapsang Souchong, and when the cup ran out, there was more in the pot. So I had a cup and a half of Lapsang Souchong. But in the process, forgot to take my pills. So when I went to bed, it was like wired. And it was sometime around 1:30 that I realized, oh, the reason is you forgot to take your pills. And rather than get up, I just waited until morning, which happened to be at 3:30 when I said, okay, screw this, I'm getting up. I'll probably have to have a nap this afternoon, but that's okay. I may have to have a nap this morning, that's also okay. I have to take some pills when I get home. I also used my manual grinder because I forgot to grind coffee last night using the Loud electric grinder. One of the things that I asked for Christmas this year was a hand grinder, in part because it would be handy to travel with, and in part because I forget periodically to grind coffee in the evening, and the electric grinder, the electric burr grinder that we have, is ridiculously loud. You could practically hear it next door. So the hand grinder is relatively silent. It's no louder than a pepper mill. It has a striking resemblance to a pepper mill, actually. And so I got an upper body workout this morning, grinding coffee. I should probably do that more often. It takes two loads to make a full pot. So you fill up the beans in the top part of the grinder and then grind. And it has to go around about maybe 200 times before you empty it. And then take the bottom container off that has collected the grounds and pour that into the filter and then repeat. Now I can do that twice. It takes about 10 minutes. But that's a lot of arm movement in and out, around, 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 around. And I use both hands, so both arms get a bit of exercise. It was quite invigorating, actually. But as a result, it was closer to 4 o'clock than 3:30 when I actually made it down to the computer. And when the alarm went off at 6, I had not yet retrieved a cup of coffee. So I'm coffeeless this morning, which is a bit shocking. I should have at least a cup in me by now. But I got involved with the Potty Books community. I'm a mentor over there, and one of the newest members posted a sample file. And I've been somewhat lax, so I dug into his file. There was a lot that was okay with it. I didn't hear any mis-edits. I didn't hear anything that was left over or a repeated sentence or anything. So there was a lot that was, you know, that was good. But boy, there's so much that almost everybody does in the beginning. Really small, really low waveforms. It was almost impossible to hear it, even with the volume cranked up on my computer and in my headphones. So it's very, very low and very, very mechanical. And a lot of gaps in the middle of sentences where there shouldn't have been gaps. And those gaps you could edit out, even if you couldn't say the sentence all in one go. It would have sounded a little bit funny, but not half as bad as the gap does. And there's a lot of construction kinds of tips and techniques. Putting the episode just ahead of chapter one, for example, after the intro, is too late. My battery is low. It's because I need to plug it in. Okay. It'll record until I get home. I'm almost back. And I can plug it in when I get downstairs. Usually I keep it plugged in beside the bed, but I'm going to try keeping it plugged in while I'm working during the day and then park it. So the alarm goes off at 6. I actually don't need the alarm, so that's sort of superfluous. But if I plug it into a USB port on any of the computers downstairs, it will charge while I'm sitting there, which is a handy thing for it to do. Anyway, so there was a lot of stuff that was, you know, technical stuff like, don't put your URL and your Twitter handle and your Facebook address and all of that stuff in the outro because it's just confusing. What you really want to strive for is a really simple intro, a really simple outro that serves all the purposes that you need to have it serve. That's also one of the things that irks me about podcasts, and this is actually enough to make me stop listening to a podcast, is the please review and rate us on Twitter and iTunes and blah, blah, blah. Help us spread the word on every single episode. Now, particularly on the first episode, that's a bit much. It's not terrible. It's not the same level of the first direct message you get from a Twitter follower after you follow them is, thanks for the follow, here's the link to my stuff, go check it out, which is just gross. And apparently really common advice that's really bad. It's given to a lot of people on Twitter. So, but it's still tedious, particularly if you do it in every episode. So every episode you get asked to do something. A trick that I learned from John Lenihan from Shadow Magic was do it at the end. Put in a nice little extra, thanks for listening, thanks for sticking to us, at the end, and then ask. Help me spread the word. Leave us a review if you liked it. And if you didn't like it, why did you listen to the whole goddamn thing is sort of the implication. But yeah, I mean, do it once at the end. Do it once. Once you've actually given them something, once you've actually given them a story. Those of you who listen to me on podcast form novels know that in pretty much all of them, there's the final episode has a special thank you at the end. Some of you may have been skipping the final credits and so didn't hear it, and that's good too. I'm not too terribly worried about it. One of the realities is that a lot of people spend an awful lot of time chasing reviews, particularly in the author community who are dealing with the ebook and print. They spend an inordinate amount of time tracking down reviews, getting book bloggers to find them and read them and write about them, and asking every one of their readers to leave a review and on. You know, that's not really helpful. Reviews are good. I'm not going to turn down the opportunity to roll the 250 or 350, whatever it is now, reviews for quarter share over to the print volume once I finally get it together. But, assuming that I do get the option, I'm not sure I will. But there's a lot of stuff there that's problematic. In terms of the psychology of listenership, it's stuff that I find aggravating. I wonder if... Oh, no, here she is. Ooh, slow second mile. 18 and a half minutes on the second mile. Yeah, not a great pace. But I'm out. It's 6 o'clock. It's only just barely 7. What is it, actually? It's 6:53, but it's also at the back gate, and time for me to say tomorrow is another day, and with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.